Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their clients the right insurance, the best price, updating policies. They are the best in the business, the pros' pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Play-by-play call of the day. Look, every once in a while, I'll watch an NBA regular season game. Once in a while. You know, maybe once a month, I'll watch a regular season game. When the playoffs roll around, then I start watching NBA basketball. You know, look, let's face it, with Penn State basketball season going on, or even Penn State football season, my time to sit there and watch NBA games of the regular season, you know, is not going to be appointment television. Well, I had to watch this game, and it was Kobe Bryant's last game. I said, I'm going to watch this game. I know it was late at night. Mike Tirico on the night where Kobe scored 60 in his final game.
Here's Bryant, two free throws for 60. He has six 60-point games in his career. 60. The Lakers close out Kobe Bryant's career with a win and one of the great farewell performances in any sport.
Man. Guys, you know, it's, I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. I mean, this is crazy. To be standing here at center court with you guys, my teammates behind me, and appreciating all this, you know, the journey that we've been on. And all I can do here is just thank you guys. Thank you guys for all the years of support. Thank you guys for all the motivation. Thank you for all the inspiration. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. And I love you guys. And Mamba out.
And he'll always be loved by them and beloved by them, the late Kobe Bryant. All right. We'll shift gears just a moment and just remind everybody at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Willie Chandler on, who's the men's basketball coach at Misericordia, who played against Kobe and Lower Marion in the 96 state playoffs with Scranton. We'll talk with him at the bottom of the hour. First, Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Alex, welcome to the show. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's get some observations from the Senior Bowl that took place. Justin Herbert ends up being the player's choice. He received an award from them and being the game MVP. How good did he look?
He was strong. I thought him and Jordan Love from Utah State were the two best quarterbacks, and that was to be expected. So I think maybe they're just kind of rechecking that box. I think it'll be a great competition for who's going to be the next quarterback off the board after Burrow and Tua, assuming the medicals are good. But yeah, I mean, Herbert's got a big arm, good velocity, mobile, didn't make a lot of mistakes. The mistakes he did make, they fixed and corrected. I thought Jordan Love had a slightly better week, if you made me choose, but I thought both played well, and Herbert especially in the game I thought did a really nice job.
Jordan Love did not play well in his bowl game. Herbert played better with his legs than his arm in his bowl game. I mean, what did you think of their respective college careers?
Yeah, I mean, Love, I think, probably didn't have the final season that he would have liked to have. And then Herbert, you know, was a guy that we thought was going to come out, what, a year ago and decided to go back to school, and that's always kind of roll of the dice. I thought that, at least based off what I saw from Saturday from this past week in Mobile. I thought Love really needed to have a good week, and I thought he had that good week where you saw the velocity, him being able to make some throws in tight windows and against zone coverage, be aggressive, have that mentality of I can make this throw, and he did without being over-aggressive and falling into mistakes. So I thought it was probably a more important week for Love than Herbert just based on their college careers, because Love kind of waned at the end, and I thought Love had that kind of week he really needed to have.
It's interesting that you can only draft by who's available in this particular year. But I don't see either guy as being a traditional first-round draft pick, even though you and I both know they will be because of what they're faced with this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? There's a train that just went by, and it was super loud. I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
That is usually when I ask my best questions, is when a train goes by, just so you know. I said it's interesting that you can only go by what's available in a given year, talent-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, in the traditional sense, Herbert and Love are not first-round picks, in my opinion, even though in this particular year they will be. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, I think what both of them showed this week is they have the potential to be first-round picks, but I totally get your point about the value of the quarterback position and where sometimes you take those guys in the first round, even if, you know, from a just pure talent standpoint, they're probably not worth it, just because if you don't have a quarterback, every team is desperate to try to find one and get their franchise guy. I think we've seen that time and time again in quarterback classes where guys get elevated because just the scarcity of the position, the supply and demand element of it. So I think it's a fair point. Again, I think they're fighting for, you know, who's going to be the next guy off the board, because obviously Burrow's going to go number one. Tua, I assume, is going to be the next quarterback gone, again, assuming the medicals check out, and then it'll be Herbert and Love. But I think both have flashed the talent to be worthy of first-round consideration. And again, when you combine that with the scarcity of quarterback, every team is trying to find one, it kind of bolts them and locks them into that first-round conversation.
Okay, so in this, who ended up probably, we talked about the quarterbacks, who else probably helped themselves this past week?
I would say two guys probably had the biggest boost to their stock. I would say Houston offensive tackle Josh Jones. Now, he's probably not going to be a top 10 guy. There are so many good underclassmen offensive linemen in this class, but I think he's really worked himself in the first-round conversation, where he kind of came in at least nationally viewed as a mid-round, day three kind of guy. And then I think the Senior Bowl is really important just for any of the small school guys to put them on even playing field competition-wise and see how they play against Power 5 competition. And I would say there's a ton of small school guys who impressed, but the one above all else is Dayton tight end Adam Trautman. I thought he had a great week, was the best tight end in Mobile by far as a blocker, as a receiver. I mean, every scout was trying to talk to him after practice, trying to get his information to figure out who this number 84 is. And you couldn't even see the front of his jersey because he was worn off because he was blocking so much and he was so physical. It kind of speaks to that. So he had a great college career at Dayton. The Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, said their scouts were blown away by watching him in person. An easy decision to invite him to Mobile. And I think he really proved he belongs in that game and probably belongs in the NFL.
Now let's flip it to the other side. Who raised some eyebrows and set up some red flags about how they performed during the week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there were any guys that were like super obvious standout losers. I try to look at it in the framework of how do these guys win, how can they help a team. I would say quarterback Shea Patterson from Michigan struggled with consistency, which was his issue in college, and I think he probably took more heat than any of the other quarterbacks. I would say he was the worst quarterback, even below Anthony Gordon from Washington State and Steven Montez from Colorado. Some of the offensive linemen struggled. John Simpson from Clemson is a guy that when he's at his best, he looks like a first rounder. When he's at his worst, he looks like a guy that's tough to justify drafting. When he was kind of more towards the latter this week. I mean, there was one on the first day of practice. I know it's first day jitters, but he had false starts on back-to-back plays, and coaches aren't going to be happy when you're wasting reps like that. And he just struggles with some of his technique and balance and getting overextended. In the game, you saw some of the offensive tackles struggle. Terrence Steele from Texas Tech had his hands full with Bradley Anae, the edge rusher from Utah. And then I would say, not that he was a loser, but Michael Pittman from USC, the wide receiver, he didn't really stand out his first 2 days of practice, got hit with a right foot sprain, couldn't practice the third day, missed the game. There were a lot of receivers that impressed this week, whether you're talking Van Jefferson from Florida, Denzel Mims from Baylor. And so for Pittman to not really have the opportunity to stand out and be at that level, it does hurt him a little bit.
See, now in watching Pittman, and look, It turns out with my schedule, you get home in time, and you end up seeing a lot of Pac-12 football because you announce a game, and then you get home either from the road trip or from the game you're doing, you watch the Pac-12. Boy, Pittman, the first two-thirds of the season, I thought was awesome. The last third of the season, I felt like he disappeared, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a really deep receiver class. It feels like there were 99 underclassmen that declared this year. I think 90 of those were receivers. Like, every receiver seemed to declare this year. It's just a super deep class. So you really have to try to find a way to stand out. And so I think Pittman, I worry about that long speed. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got good hands, but, you know, what is he going to run? I'm afraid he's not going to run that fast. And I think not really being able to show a whole lot of the Senior Bowl this week is going to hurt him a little bit.
I felt the last couple of years, and I really would love your opinion on this, because I don't know if what I'm about to say is logical or feasible. I always felt like the first day or two, they should also have an underclassman combine before guys declare, just to get a read. How do you feel about that? Because they're now, 111 underclassmen have declared.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's so tough. And, you know, I understand that underclassmen declare for a variety of reasons, and I'm not going to knock a guy for leaving school early. Maybe he's got financial problems at home or wants to make the jump or just feel like he can improve his stock. But I think it's safe to say there were just too many underclassmen declaring. I mean, half of these guys that declare won't get drafted, and they'll be without a degree. They'll be bounced around the NFL without really any sort of financial stability, and that's really going to put them in a tough spot. So I don't know if the answer is to have a better advisory committee that's more aggressive in trying to get guys to return to school. I don't know if it is doing some underclassmen type events for these guys. I'm not sure what the solution is, but all I know is like you said, there are just far too many underclassmen declaring and too many guys that probably look back at that decision and say that was a mistake. And I think college football and the NFL have to work together to try to correct that.
And to me, here's the difficulty. I think the NBA and college basketball have a great circumstance. But the reason being, Alex, is simple. The calendar allows them to. Finals are over, semester's over. You've got time to do this stuff. Football players have to then make a decision as to whether to be in class in the spring semester. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what makes the calendar makes it a little bit tougher, I think. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was going to say, I agree, it totally does, but I think they have to work really hard on the solution, because you want these guys to succeed. You want to put these guys in positions to thrive, and guys that declare and go undrafted, they're not in that situation.
Okay, so now the next step, obviously, for teams will be, obviously, there's free agency, there's the combine, and so forth. Give me a couple of guys you're going to keep your eye on, especially when you're thinking about the Steelers component.
Yeah, for the Senior Bowl, I think tight end's going to be one of the biggest needs. Even if the Steelers decide to bring back Vance McDonald, you have to find someone to pair him with. McDonald, at his best, even in the best-case scenario, he's probably a 500-snap season type of guy. So from an underclassman perspective, Cole Kmet from Notre Dame, Thad Moss from LSU, who played well in the national title game, the guys that were there, Trotman, who I mentioned earlier, Bryson Hopkins is a guy that probably really fits what the Steelers are looking for. He's got football bloodlines. His dad, Brad Hopkins, played in the NFL as an offensive tackle for 13 years. He's down and training with Derek Mason right now for the pre-draft process, so he's getting really good coaching from that aspect. I would say interior defensive line, Devon Hamilton from Ohio State. I would say Neville Gallimore from Oklahoma. And then the offensive line is probably going to be an area where they want to address to get some depth there. I would look at a local kid, Matt Hennessy from Temple, who I thought had a really strong week. Maybe struggled a little bit more towards the end than the beginning, but good size, really good base and technique, who keeps his feet moving, doesn't get too tall, doesn't double over. He's played a lot of center, and he was probably going to need a center to help back up Marquise Pouncey in 2020.
Any quick thoughts on what, if anything, you had on Robert Windsor and Cam Brown, both from Penn State?
I thought both had decent weeks, not too high, not too low. Brown's just an impressive guy. I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5", with nearly 34-inch arms. He's just a super long, athletic, fluid-type dude. A really good guy to talk to as well. Windsor, I will say this on Windsor, I didn't get to watch him a whole lot. He's kind of a tough, physical, intense dude, but I think the NFL is going to be a lot higher on Robert Windsor than maybe some people in the scouting community. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, said they gave out their about 100 initial invites. They called NFL teams and said, who are we missing? Who else do we need to invite that you want to see? And Nagy said about half the league responded back saying, get Robert Windsor in Mobile. We want to see this guy. So I think the NFL is really going to like his skill set.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate your time, as always.
All right, thank you so much. Take care.
Alex Kozora, SteelersDepot.com on the Senior Bowl. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, let's get a couple of notes in here for you, and then we'll get back to Kobe Bryant. The Pirates have traded outfielder Starling Marte to the Arizona Diamondbacks. He has been dealt to Arizona for a couple of prospects along the way. And so Marte is now gone from the Pirates. He is with Arizona. So that's one. Next up is Xavier Simpson, the point guard for Michigan, has been suspended for the game tomorrow night at Nebraska for violation of team rules. And that was announced today by head coach Juwan Howard. It looks like David DeJulius is going to take over there, but Xavier Simpson has been suspended by Michigan basketball. Penn State is ranked 23rd in the coaches poll, 24th in the AP poll in basketball. Indiana is here Wednesday night at 8:30. Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star and Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, both with us on the show tomorrow. Let's see, I'm trying to think if there's any other. Those are the primary notes that I had. Oh, yes, and the Browns have named the youngest general manager in the history of the NFL. Andrew Berry gets a 5-year deal to be the mastermind and the architect of the Cleveland Browns. He is 32 years of age. He's the youngest general manager in the NFL. He worked for the Browns from 16 to 18 as vice president of player personnel. So now they have a GM. That is a revolving door in Cleveland. So those are the other stories that we didn't want to let slip through the cracks. The Pirates also got $250,000, by the way, in international signing bonus pool money. Yeah. Right-hander Brendan Malone, 33rd pick of the 2019 draft, and shortstop Leiver Peguero, 19-year-old from the Dominican Republic who excelled in short-season baseball, are the two players the Pirates get, which means they are both years away. Now, Arizona, by the way, has an incredibly deep farm system, unless they felt they could make the trade. San Diego and Tampa Bay are also in that same category of having deep farm systems. Okay. So those are the other stories that are making news on this particular day. And then, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl week and the Super Bowl media day is going to be dominated by Kobe Bryant. The week is going to be dominated by Kobe Bryant. Then the Super Bowl will be played, and the Super Bowl will dominate the weekend, although leading into the game, obviously Kobe Bryant has to be talked about and mentioned. Has to be. Right, then the Super Bowl will have its post-game thoughts, Monday, Tuesday, but then what's the next big event after that? It's the following weekend on February 10th. And that happens to be, actually, was it February 8th, 9th, whatever. It's the All-Star Game in Chicago. And what do they do with the All-Star Game every year? They name who the Hall of Famers are. Well, guess who's up for induction this year for the first time in his life? First time in his is Kobe Bryant. along with Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. So it's going to go right back to the forefront. And then when the induction ceremony takes place in Springfield, again, it'll be back in the forefront. Classy move by everybody in the NBA, taking 24-second shot clock violations and or 8-second backcourt violations. College basketball is a 10-second backcourt violation, but the NBA is 8. So to honor the two numbers that Kobe wore, 8 and 24, teams took turns in violations to honor his memory. All right, final half hour. Willie Chandler, Misericordia men's basketball coach who played against Kobe in high school.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson's start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Konas in stock, starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Been able to get their clients the right insurance. That's critical. You have to be completely covered. But it's really great when it fits your budget. They do so in such a way where you end up, they do everything they can to save you money. They get you the best price. And when it comes to customer service, they're number one, without question. They are really terrific people who are just great professionals. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I will admit that when I was in my first 2 years at Penn State Wilkes-Barre in Lehman, I lived with a different family each year in Dallas. And up on the top of the hill in Dallas was an all-girls school at the time. Misericordia. Well, times have changed there, the men's and women's. And the head basketball coach up there on top of the hill at College Misericordia is Willie Chandler. Willie, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. You played against Kobe Bryant in high school in the playoffs, state playoffs. He obviously would come into the game with a great rep to begin with. What was it like facing him one-on-one, and did the hype match what you thought you would see?
Yeah, well, at the time, I was 15 years old, so I was only a sophomore. He was a senior, but, at the everyone followed basketball. You know, we knew who he was. We knew he was the number one player in the country, and I've never played against anyone, that caliber yet in my life, and still to this day I haven't, but we got to the point where, we upset Williamsport in the first round of states, and we knew we were going to play Kobe in Lower Marion. And they're the number one team in the state. I think they had one or two losses. And that week, he was in the Slam magazine, had a big write-up in the Slam magazine. And that's when I, really learned about who he was, who his dad was. He spoke five languages or six languages, and I'm like, all right, this kid's pretty impressive. Still didn't know how good of a basketball player he was because we really didn't scout him because we didn't think we were going to be Williamsport. So we didn't scout Lower Marion, really. It's just Coach Lyons came to me and said, Chandler, you're guarding him. You're our most athletic guy. You got him. And I said, thank you. And I kind of smiled because I didn't know what I was getting myself into until later on. But it was a great opportunity.
All right, so in the end, what did you get yourself into?
Well, let me say this. Kobe on the court wasn't the nicest guy. You know, he wasn't. He was intense from the start. You know, he was, you know, he threw an elbow at me. He got an offensive foul early in the game. I think he tried to make a point there, like, hey, get off me, and hit me in my throat. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was trying to grab his shorts and stuff, trying to irritate him. He's just smacking my hand away and telling me every time he's going to score or dunk the ball. And he did it every time he said he was going to do it. And I, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is a whole different kind of ball player. I see why he might be going to the NBA. And, you know, but the thing that impressed me most about him was after the game. You know, he wasn't, like I said, he was intense, very, you know, he was a killer on the court. Like, he didn't smile, didn't say anything nice to me on the court. But after the game, he came down to the locker room, you know, said to my coach, hey, where's the Chandler kid at? You know, took me out, I got my family, took all pictures, signed autographs, talked to me, gave me some advice. And that's when I was a Kobe fan from that point on. You know, that was, you know, for a guy to be able to flip the switch like he did, to being on the court and then to being polite and intelligent like he was off the court, you know, that's how I want to play. You know, I'm like, I'm going to be that way no matter what. I'm not as good as Kobe, but when I'm on the court, and I try to teach my players now to this day, like, when you're on the court, no matter who you're playing, I don't care if it's your best friend from high school, you know, he's in front of what we're trying to do. You know, we had to take it personal like that. And then off the court, I want you to be the best gentleman around campus, in the classrooms, and be gentlemen. You know, and that's the one thing I try to teach now, and that's the one thing I was, and I try to be when I was, you know, growing up playing and, you know, going through my career.
He talked during the game. Do you remember any memorable trash talk line that even stuck with you and made you smirk a little bit?
Yeah, so the best part of the game, you know, even though we're getting killed, it's a second half. They're already, I mean, the game's in hand for them as it is. You know, Kobe goes down the lane and finger rolls a shot, but air balls it. So our student section, which was probably like 2,000, 3,000 deep, started chanting air ball. And so we come back down. We could have made a foul in front of their bench. So I'm guarding. Kobe's taking the ball out of bounds, and I'm guarding him. So before he gets handed the ball, he says to me, hey, Chandler, watch this. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, what's he talking about? Watch this. You know, so before I can even think, he throws the ball in. I get hit with a back screen. The next thing I know, I'm turning around. The ball's at the top of the backboard, and he's grabbing it for an alley-oop dunk and goes in front of our student section and, like, kind of laughs at our student section, smiles at our student section, and that was it. You know, I was like, oh. You know, I ran back, and he's smiling at me the whole time down the court, and I couldn't do anything about it. I'm like, all right, he told me what he was going to do. I got hit with a back screen. I got out of the way quick.
That's unreal. No, he did talk
a lot, though. I mean, and it, you know, and he let you know what he was doing, and most of the time he followed through what he was saying.
What's it been like for you knowing that you had that 2 hours where it was you against him, and not only that, but when it was over, he appreciated you, the competitor? What was it like watching his career play out because you had that experience?
And I'm glad you said it. That's why I feel so connected to him. Like, once we played that game and he talked to me like a human being, he didn't talk to me like I was a fan. He talked to me like a person. And to see what he did in the NBA, I was his biggest fan. Like, when he won a championship, I felt like I won a championship. Like, that's how I was connected to him. And I think that's why the city of Scranton is connected to him, because we had that chance. Scranton kids had a chance to play against one of the best basketball players to ever play the game. And I think that's why our area is hit so hard by this and why all the news stations are doing. We had a connection. You know, no matter what anyone says, there was a connection there between Scranton and Kobe and myself guarding him and how he treated me after the game. There's a connection, and that's why I was so hurt. You know, we had practice today. I really didn't want to be there. You know, I don't want to be around basketball right now at this time. But, you know, I still got to do my job. And it's just, you know, to all the families that, you know, that were affected by that crash, it's a shame. It's a shame. And like I said, you know, January 26th will never be the same, you know, for me at least.
Right. You touched on this briefly, but there are life lessons that you can learn from the best. And if you listen to the best, you observe the best, you then have the ability to pass along those lessons to others. So what are the lessons that you learned from even that experience where you competed head-to-head with him? And what are the lessons you learned that you watched him as the years went by that you pass on to your players now?
Well, the biggest lesson, you know, I take from everything is his intensity on the court. Like, I think Jordan probably was the only other guy I've watched play basketball that can match Kobe's intensity on the court. And I try to play like that. You know, I didn't care if people liked me on the court. I want people to like me off the court and respect me off the court. But if you didn't like me on the court, I was doing something right. You know, and that's the one thing Kobe always said. He goes, I don't need people to respect me and like me on the court. If you don't like me on the court, that means I'm doing something right. You know, I'm affecting the game in a way where this guy's not happy. And that's the one thing I try to teach to my guys to this day now, you know, intensity all the time. You have 4 years of college to play basketball, and it goes quick. You know, and I want you to enjoy it, you know, but when you lace them up on the court and you get on that court, you know, just take no prisoners. We're going for 40 minutes, and we want the other team to dislike us by the time we're done. You know, and then we can shake hands after and be polite and talk to them after and do all that stuff. But that's the one thing I learned from Kobe that, you know, I respect him. You know, I respected so much about him. Like, some people didn't like him. You know, some people didn't like his attitude. But I understood as a basketball player myself and now as a coach where he was coming from.
What about, let's go to the other part. What about do you talk to your players at all about the ability to flip the switch between off court, on court?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, that was my big adjustment. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that in high school, you know, until I played Kobe. You know, I was always the same way no matter what. And I was kind of a troublemaker in high school. You know, I was really, you know, up until that time I played Kobe, I got in a little trouble in high school and didn't have my head on straight. And once that Kobe game happened, you know, my grades got better. You know, I did more in the community. I started doing more stuff. Like, playing Kobe, you know, it helped me so much. It helped me so much, like, because, you know, I don't hide anything. You know, I was a knucklehead earlier on, you know, in my life. And and that game showed me, hey, I could play on the same court with a guy going to the NBA. I mean, maybe not match up with him, but I have a future in basketball. If I could score 14 and I had some good moves on Kobe, I picked his pocket once, and it made me think, like, all right, I need to get my head on straight and go from there, you know, and things could happen for me.
Willie, sports can be great therapy. Now, obviously, you didn't want to be around a basketball court today, but there'll be a point now where it will be, and you'll coach games. How important can your players be to you in this particular time? And how important can the game be to you in this particular time to allow you to move forward?
It's very important, man. Basketball's in my whole life. It's been, you know, since probably 5-6 years old, basketball's been my life. And my guys are great. I love my team. You know, we're struggling a little bit this year because we're kind of young. You know, I lost 9 seniors last year, and we're struggling. But these guys know what Kobe meant to me. You know, today at practice, you know, all of them had our number 24 jersey on the floor in the middle of the Cougar at practice. And, you know, basically for me, you know, and I understood what they were trying to do, and they knew how much he meant to me and how much he affected my life, you know, up until this point. And we had a great practice today. You know, yes, I didn't want to be there, you know, but that's my job. And I think basketball is definitely a cure for me, you know, because – that's where my life changed, you know, and that's where Kobe changed my life, playing him back in 1996. And, you know, and that's why I got so much love for Kobe, and that's why this all hurt so bad. You know, that's why yesterday I just couldn't believe it. I didn't move yesterday. Like, I went to a few news stations to interview me. I didn't want to do that, you know, and it's kind of, you know, to the point where it's like, hey, let me share my memories, because they are great. You know, my memories are great, and a lot of people haven't got a chance to meet Kobe or even, you know, see him play or play against him. Like, he was a great man. I know, you know, I know he wasn't always right or, you know, the perfect guy, but when I met him, he was intelligent, polite, and I was like, I need to be like him. You know, I need to be like him on and off the court. And that's how I, you know, I think that's why I had such a successful career playing, you know, going overseas and playing professional and coming back and translating it to coaching now. I think that experience in 1996 changed my whole path of what my life was going to be. And that's why I'm so, you know, I have so much admiration for Kobe Bryant. I think that's why people keep calling me for my stories, because I think they know how much he meant to me. And it's the truth. His whole career I followed. It was game one of the NBA season. I followed it like it was game seven. You know, I enjoyed watching him play. You know, I enjoyed watching him play, and I enjoyed watching him grow up, you know, from far away, like seeing how much, you know, how much he changed his career when he lost his athletic ability, how much he worked on his game to get in the post and score that way. You know, and that's how great he was. Like, he never was satisfied. You know, and that's how I am now with life and coaching. Like, I'm never satisfied. You know, we're having a tough year this year, and I'm hard on my guys, but they understand where I'm coming from. You know, we came off winning two championships, and now we're having a tough year, and they understand where I'm coming from. Like, I want the best out of my guys, and I think that's only going to help them in the future. And that's just the way I live.
You could tell how rewarding it was for Kobe to come out of the stands and coach his daughter and her teammates. What is rewarding to you as a coach in your chosen profession? For you as a coach, what's the most rewarding thing?
Well, me as a coach is seeing my guys graduate. You know, and that's, you know, winning championships are great. You know, I've been coaching 5 years, and I was lucky enough to win two championships already through my first 4 years of coaching. You know, I'm in my fifth year right now. But seeing guys graduate and see them walk across the stage and then get jobs and invite me to their weddings and things like that, that means I did something right. And that's the biggest joy of my life. You know, I have a 6-year-old daughter. She's going to be 6-year-old daughter now, and she hasn't played basketball yet. You know, and I know there's going to come a time where she comes to me, Daddy, I want to play basketball. You know, and I'm looking forward to that time, but I'm not going to force it on her. And that's what, you know, and that's the joy of my life right now. My basketball team and my daughter, and that's what I look forward to every day. You know, my daughter, when things don't go right in basketball, she's there to give me a hug no matter what. And that's it. And I know Kobe had the same relationship with his kids, and, you know, he was a great father. You know, he was a great father. He was on his way, they're on their way to a basketball camp / game when it happened. And like I said, I look at my daughter, and that's all, you know, it kills me. It kills me so much, you know, that he had it. You know, I know he wasn't thinking about himself in that last minute or so when the helicopter was going down. I know he was thinking about, you know, his daughter, and that's what, sure, you know, that's what upsets me the most. Like, that's what makes me sick and sad and just, you know, there's no words.
Yeah. On the lighter side of life, just for a moment, we'll leave this on a light note. When your players invite you to their weddings, do you embarrass them by doing the electric slide?
Hey, the thing about it, I'm still kind of young and I could dance. You know, I know all the new moves now. You know, my daughter watches YouTube a lot, so I see all the new moves, and, you know, I try to stay up with them so the guys don't think I'm old. So it's, you know, I try to stay hip with whatever's changing, whatever dance is going on. I'm definitely going to embarrass them. I mean, I'm going to go out there and dance. I probably could dance better than half of them anyway. So, you know, they might be embarrassed because I could dance better. That's probably the only reason they could be embarrassed.
Well, Willie, for us, it was a privilege to have you on. Thanks so much for the time, the insight, the depth. We appreciate that and you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Have a good night. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Willie. Willie Chandler, men's basketball coach at Misericordia in Scranton. They played against Kobe and Lower Merion in the 96 playoffs. A little different perspective, a local perspective, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
These shows are obviously, for obvious reasons, the toughest shows to do. But our thanks to Willie Chandler, college Misericordia men's basketball coach who played against Kobe Bryant in Lower Merion in the 96 state playoffs, to give us a local perspective. Also to Dennis Chambers of CBS Sports for the national perspective on Kobe Bryant. And then in the middle, we did break it up a bit with some talk about the Senior Bowl with Alex Kozora of SteelersDepot.com. And most of all, the thanks goes to Matt Cotrillo, who set all of this up, stem to stern. People could say, hey, that was some interview. Well, it doesn't happen unless Matt makes it happen. So Matt's the one that really is the cornerstone behind all of that and deserves the just credit. Tomorrow we will talk college basketball. Penn State, ranked 23rd in the coaches' poll, 24th in the AP poll, will take on Indiana in the Jordan Center Wednesday night at 8:30. Tomorrow, we'll have Zach Alsterman on from the Indianapolis Star to talk about Indiana. And for the Penn State perspective, we'll have on Nittany Lionhead basketball coach Patrick Chambers. That'll be on the show tomorrow. So that's what we're rolling with as the week goes on. And yes, the Super Bowl is this week. And at some point, we'll touch on the Super Bowl. Everybody picked the same Pro Bowl thing, right?
Yes. So we all lost, basically. Although you kind of picked the tie. So I guess you...
I still lost.
Yeah, so you kind of lost. Yeah, it wasn't a tie. Yeah. And
no, it wasn't a tie.
KJ and I picked NFC.
You know.
Boy, Fletcher man, Cox yesterday with the play of the game, in my opinion.
Well, what about T.J. Watt?
Oh, yeah, T.J. Watt, yeah. That was the game clincher. All right.
He went 81 yards.
Yeah. All right, Cox had one of the more entertaining plays of the game. How about that?
Sure, I didn't see it, but that's all right. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And not only did we talk about Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi today, but we also did talk about the other seven that were killed in the crash. The pain of their family, friends, and loved ones is just as deep.